Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Judy Joy Jones Show. That wonderful piece you were listening to is called The Bob, B-O-B, and our guest today actually sent it to me. I uploaded it. I think it's great, The Bob. And everyone, today we have a filmmaker from Berkeley, California. His name is Waylon Bacon, and he is quite amazing, and everything that he's done so far and all the things that we're going to see from this very gifted filmmaker. I am going to bring him up right now and let him tell you his latest project. And all I can say is that we're really lucky to have Waylon Bacon. And let me say hello.
Hey, Judy.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing there?
Great. I really enjoyed that song, The Bob. If you wouldn't mind telling some people about it, I just love it.
Oh, God. Well, the song's done by my friend Jason, who's a very talented musician and a really strange approach to composing. He'll write something basic on a guitar, and then it will just start breaking it up with all these different instruments. So he did Bob on some kind of an Indian string instrument, and then the clacking was him and I banging on a bunch of pots and pans and empty jelly jars.
Oh, how wonderful. Yeah, it sounded Middle Eastern. Very exotic. I truly enjoyed it. I wanted to go on longer. It's just really good.
Oh, thank
you. I appreciate you sending it. And, you know, my introduction was quite brief. I always think the guest does better, and if you'd like to tell everyone out there that doesn't know you right now but will, something about you.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess, you know, everyone knows my name is Waylon Bacon, and I'm an independent filmmaker in the Bay Area. Pretty under the radar, I suppose. We're doing digital shorts, and you can find them all up at my webpage, which is waylonbacon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they are all sort of morbid, dark comedies.
Mm. Well, would you consider yourself a surrealist, or do you not have a title yet? I mean, you're more...
I guess kind of a surrealist. I sort of like to think of I'm just playing with the... I was telling a friend the other day, I was thinking I'm sort of playing with the horror genre, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And, I like horror films, but then I feel that it's a good platform to explore other ideas, too.
That's right. I really liked your short that you have on your website. What's the name of it?
My Worst Nightmare, the new one?
Yeah, My Worst Nightmare, and that's at www.waylonbacon.com. I really liked it. I didn't understand all of it, but I wanted more, so that's where I thought, I'm going to have him on my show.
Thank you.
Liked it, yeah.
Yeah, everyone seems to really like that, and I was surprised because we did it really fast. We did that whole thing in maybe a month and a half.
Mm.
And the shooting itself only took 2 days because I got a friend who was doing a horror film festival in Berkeley, and he wanted people to do horror movies for him. So real fast, you know, I wrote out a script and called him, and we just did it.
You just did it. Because some of the looks that you got, you know, in the close-ups and it's just almost didn't need any words. You know, it was just this thing in the faces. And at the end, you know, it was very interesting. And I won't tell people, they can go to your website. And is going to be a full-length film, isn't it, Waylon?
You know, I don't know.
Well,
originally, what I did was I wrote out all of my favorite nightmares, because I remember all my nightmares way back to when I was like a kid.
Yeah.
And we were going to go and shoot all of them, but it just became one of those, I'll never, you know, get this all done in time.
Okay.
So I just picked the one that I thought would be the most punchy.
Mm-hmm. You had a nightmare that way where you were buried, huh?
Oh, yeah. That film was actually pretty scene for scene the nightmare I had.
Ooh.
Maybe filmmakers have dreams of three-act structures. I don't know. But
That's a dream. When did you have that one?
That was 2001. And at the time, I thought perhaps it was it meant that I was going to die soon.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, obviously I'm not dead yet, so.
But my God, what a way to for your visions to come. Whew.
No kidding.
Why? Well, I noticed you said you lived alone with your cat.
Yeah, mostly alone. I have a roommate, but we have very different schedules, so we never see each other.
Oh yeah.
But you know, there's a clash of interior decoration going on in here.
Oh, okay.
I've got all of my action figures and horror movie posters, and then he's got a lot of disco paraphernalia.
Must be fun to have that going on. And that's in Oakland, right? You live in Oakland.
Yeah, you're right in the border, actually.
Oh, okay, right.
We call
it
Berkland.
Berkland. That's good. How many films have you made now?
Well, I only like to count three, but I'd say I've done about six.
Wow. You're moving on up.
Yeah. You know, it's good to get started early. So I started in high school. I had a friend named Hoku, and he wanted to make movies, so we were constantly trying to outdo each other.
Okay. I saw him on your website. You have a link to The Rose or something? Is that right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Beautiful looking. He shot this on Super 16, and it looks like a...
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It is. I was just... It looked breathtaking, so he must be quite... So y'all were always trying to compete with each other, which made you better.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we both resigned ourselves to the fact that we want to do different things, but, you know, we're constantly getting into these long philosophical conversations about film.
About film. Well, also your drawing. You're quite the artist. Do you basically do, like, pen and ink, or do you do color? I mean, do you, like, use acrylic as well, or?
Well, I used to use a lot of acrylic. I used to do a lot of painting, and it's kind of dropped to the wayside as the film thing has been going on. It's just hard to find the time. And I still do a lot of art. I carry a sketchbook with me everywhere.
Because some of the images are a little frightening, so I guess they are more like fall into your filmmaking category, like the monster or the...
Oh, yeah, I was always big on monsters. The first thing that got me drawing was seeing the Lon Chaney Phantom of the Opera.
Oh.
And I have a whole, maybe 3 years with, like, all I drew as a kid was the, you know, these pug-nosed, sunken-eyed monsters.
Mm. Wow. Well, you're getting, this is an interesting genre to get into. It would frighten me to death.
Yeah, my poor parents, they were really like, God, what did we do?
Why could he make love stories, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, it's all in what, and, you know, everybody likes to be frightened and also, you know, figure out the ending and all that kind of stuff, which I really found myself doing with your, you know, I wanted to let everyone know I met you in Berkeley. I swim over there now and again, and I was having a show, Judy Joy Jones Show, and I walked into a liquor store, and there was Waylon, and that's how we met, but this has been several months. And I just never dreamed you'd actually get from there to, you're no longer behind the counter, you're on my show.
Yeah, well, I'll be behind the counter tomorrow.
Oh, you are? You're working tomorrow, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's a good place to work for someone who likes to write, because it is a liquor store in downtown Berkeley, and Berkeley is, I think, one of the most condensed homeless populations in the U.S., really. There's just a lot of folks come there because it's an easy place to be homeless. So we get a lot of characters running in off their medication. And
It's a wild place where you are. It's just like, I guess it's like a mini New York City Times Square. I mean, I don't know what you, it's everything, isn't it? Woo.
Yeah, it's, but yeah, it's, actually everyone says
cool.
this liquor store is a lot like a New York bodega.
And there's a lot of music on every corner, every, you know, it seems like different types of music, and so it's just interesting. You get off the underground and you're just in a different. I was reading something about you were making a film or thinking about it, about you go to work for some company that actually kills people or something, homeless and all this. Was I dreaming or did
no,
I?
No, that's the new one. It's it came about because actually I won a grant through the SF Weekly. They had they have this thing they do every year called the Masterminds Grant. And so I had applied and didn't think I would win at all. And actually we showed up, me and Shannon, my makeup artist, and some friends, we showed up purely because they were giving away free mojitos. So we were sitting there getting quite inebriated, and then they called my name, so I stumbled up and got the check. So I figured I should probably write something else. So this is kind of about the feeling that you have to sacrifice your own ethics and morals a lot of times just in order to pay your rent. So this kid gets his first out-of-college job at this warehouse where it turns out they go out every night and they kill homeless people, minorities, and hookers and other quote-unquote socially undesirable types and export them someplace. We don't really go into why or where they're exporting them. It's kind of a Kafka thing.
Huh. And in Berkeley, it could well be.
Yeah, no,
I was thinking, where is this company? It would not surprise me. Just would not. And I thought, well, maybe he's actually worked at a place like this.
Well, I took a lot of my previous work experiences and put that into the script. There's a lot of ex-bosses who I was particularly not fond of who
found
their way in there. And, you know, old friends who I worked with who I wrote into as characters.
His character. And I noticed you work at one of my favorite places, the Berkeley Hat Company. Oh, my gosh.
Did I tell you about that? Yeah.
No, yeah, I think you were. I was reading. Yeah. So
yeah, they actually conned me into being a hat model, too. I've just pictured me in hats up on their webpage.
Wow, because they have, like, thousands of hats, don't they, Willis?
Oh, my God. They have a back room, and the back room got even more, just boxes all the way to the ceiling, and, you know, I don't even know if they know all what's back there.
Oh, my God. It's incredible. I mean, I have never seen that many hats, different types, in my life. It's delightful. You can find any kind of hat you want. I mean, you can go in there and come out. Now, that would be an interesting place. That's right on Telegraph Avenue, which is very close to UC Berkeley, so you get a lot of diverse people in there.
Oh, yeah. In fact, there was a guy there named Omar who comes in that we used to have to throw out every day.
Oh.
And he sounds like Tom Waits on a really bad day. And then he actually comes into the liquor store sometimes, too. I rolled my eyes. I said, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
A lot of life to throw this guy out of every shop I work at.
So he has a couple of problems.
Poor guy, yeah. Yeah, he's infamous. You can hear him coming from a block away.
A block away, yeah. Please. Well, for those out there that are in other parts of the world, and there are people listening that will download this show, we are speaking of a very, very unique place in California on the Pacific coastline, and it's called Berkeley, California. Some people call it Berkeley.
Yeah,
I have heard it.
Oh, hats of that on there.
Yeah. We're talking very unusual. So it's a great place for a filmmaker, particularly, I would say, a writer or a filmmaker. There's a lot of writers from that area.
Oh, yeah. You always see guys in turtlenecks hunched over their laptops in front of the cafes. There's like
a cafe
every block in Berkeley.
Every block in Berkeley. Well, do you see yourself, where do you see yourself? I mean, I know you win grants and contests. You're good, and you're going to move on. And do you have like a two-year goal, or are you that type of person or not? Or do you just kind of?
Not really. I'm just sort of just continuing to just do the work and see what happens. I don't think there's any right or wrong way to really make it in films. There's so many different strange stories out there. You know, and I think the only thing you could possibly do is just create work that you think is good and try to get it out there and see what happens. Because I think to try and, you know, analyze what you're doing and, you know, how it's gonna, how people are gonna read it is actually
kind of
a fault.
Yeah, that's not good. It's kind of like you've got one person here waiting for more of your work, and so as time goes on, you know, and what I see is probably not at all what you had planned or whatever, but I think the fact you made that so quickly, I'm wondering about that too, because you just made it, you know, it was like you let it come on through and you didn't stop and go through all this analyzation and everything. When you need, like, actors and all the people you need, how many people actually were involved in the making of that film?
Not as many as it could have been. I'd say, what did we have, about 6 actors?
Okay.
And then about 4 or 5 crew people.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Very quick. In fact, and we did it so fast, the woman who played my mother, Judy Cerda, we cast her over the phone.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I had never met her before she showed up on the set. I really needed someone who looked kind of like my mom, and she had a nice demo reel. And we got really, 2 days before shooting, and I still didn't have this part cast.
Oh, my God.
I just called her up. I said, look, we don't have time. Just come on to
come
the set.
On.
And yeah.
She worked well.
She was very good. We're putting her as a dead hooker in the new one, actually.
A dead hooker.
Yeah, we actually got we have a lot of dead hookers in the new one. It was the lament of me and the cast, my casting, my friend Amy does all my casting.
Uh-huh.
We needed extras, because... Uh-huh. Just dead hookers and homeless people, and we couldn't find any leads. No one wanted to play the leads, but everyone wanted to be a dead hooker. I've got 70 emails. All these women wanted to be dead prostitutes, and I said, you know, this isn't going to be like Gillette Messina and Knights of Cabiria. You know, this is going to be laying in a ditch for most of the film.
Playing in a ditch. Well, you know, we all have a calling, and I guess that would be an easy role too. You have no lines. You're just kind of laying around, and so that was shot inside somebody's house, is that right?
Yeah, funny enough, back to Hoku, it was actually at Hoku's house. It's his his dad's house, I guess, technically. He's out in New Mexico right now, but
Oh, okay. It
yeah,
kind of reminded me of a Norman Rockwell scene to begin with, you know, the way they were all an animated Norman Rockwell or like I said, Woody Allen, and then it just kind of progressed, so caught my attention. It's really amazing, you know, the things that go into filmmaking. But after you make the film and then you want to get it in all the, I guess, the film festivals, do you just send thousands of copies out? Or what do you do with that?
Well, I wish I could afford it, because the problem with the film festival circuit is it's really expensive, because you've got they all have a fee, and it can be anywhere from like 20 to 50. Depending on how prestigious they are.
Ooh.
And then you got to burn your DVDs, and then if you really want to impress them, you know, you make a DVD jacket, maybe send along a press kit. So what I tend to do is actually look for festivals I think that I might work in, because if I had the cash, I'd just send it off to every festival on the planet.
Oh, sure.
And then every time I do it, I send it off to one festival that scares the heck out of me. You know, I sent this one off to Telluride.
Uh-huh.
Spent a couple of weeks on pins and needles. We didn't get in, of course, but...
That's a big one, huh?
That's a big one. The best one that we got into with this was actually in Kentucky. And for me, it was exciting because I'd never been to the South, so I have to go to the South. And
mm-hmm.
It was a Kentucky Horror Film Festival. It was a lot of fun. Because it's
cool.
Kentucky, everyone was drinking whiskey. It was the only festival I've been at where you could actually sit there with a big tumbler of Jack Daniels and watch a film. It made the networking really easier, too, because I think everybody was pretty sloshed by the end of it.
They love your picture then.
Yeah, I was hoping there wasn't the booze talking in them.
Yeah, we always hope that. We never know. But, it looks like we do have a caller. Let me see. Hello, 519?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello,
hi, I had a question for Waylon, and I was just wondering if you could talk a little on your influences and who influences you, whether that be in movies or music or anything, like what inspires you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, let's see. I'd say cinematically, the guy who really made me want to go make movies was John Waters, actually, because, you know, I saw Pink Flamingos when I was a kid, and it's so crude. And really bizarre, and I just like, God, like, if this guy can do this kind of a film and I'm, you know, paying money to rent it, I think anything is possible.
He's great. He's the one who did the commercial of smoking before the films Don't Smoke, isn't that John Waters?
Yeah, he also started me smoking, too. I don't know if that's a good thing. Yeah, he was a bad influence on me. And then I listen to a lot of music, actually. That's where I get a lot of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
I have one of those ridiculous iTunes libraries. It's like 10 days of tunes. And,
mm-hmm.
It could be anything from, like, Captain Beefheart to, Betty.
Yeah. That's a wild one. You sent me, I like this other one better.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure about that
Captain
one.
Beefheart song. So
I sent it to a friend of mine. I said, what do you think? Would they go for this? I've never heard it. But, raunchy. Yeah, John Waters. I'd like to have him as a guest. He's amazing. I don't know where he's living or anything. He's still in San Francisco, but
apparently, I think he has a house in San Francisco, New York, and Baltimore. He made a bunch of money off the Hairspray musical.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He made a lot of money off that because they made it into a big Broadway show and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, what about your family, Waylon? Are they in the film industry or?
No, my family is odd. My mom is an old beatnik. She used to live on Haight-Ashbury, but she dressed up like Betty Boop. She'd have eyelashes and her hair was dyed black.
No.
And my father was in the Navy for a number of years, and then he was out of the Navy, and he was up on the telegraph getting his head busted in by cops, building People's Park. With all the old acid casualties up there. And then he became a police officer after that, strange career switch. And now he's retired, and he just sits around the house watching football games and calling me up whenever he sees a good horror movie.
Mom's still dressed like Betty Boop?
No, she's mellowed in her old age.
Mellowed.
But, she's still, I still talk to her quite a lot. And actually, they probably had a lot to do with any kind of style I have, because they had these very differing tastes in films. So my mother might bring home, like, The Seventh Seal, and we'd watch that. And then my dad would bring home The Corpse Grinders. That, and so I get a combination of art films and horror movies.
Well, with him being a cop, that way, I guess he had some tales to tell.
Oh, yeah, it was a lot like having Harvey Keitel as your dad.
Because
he's got this kind of tough guy thing going.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he's got more Navy stories than cop stories. I don't know if I can tell any of the Navy stories.
Hear that wrong. Do you have any brothers or sisters in the industry?
I got two sisters, not in the industry. I got
not
one sister, and she lives in Mexico City, which is a fascinating place to visit. Looks just like San Francisco, except everyone drives VW Bugs. Kind of odd. And then I have a little sister, and she actually has been in at least one of the films, the old one from college, but I promised her I wouldn't involve her anymore.
Oh,
so,
it wasn't. She might change her mind on that when you've got your name splashed all over the world. She'll call you. Oh, I was just kidding.
God, I'd probably be relieved that I can afford real help enough to stop calling her.
Yeah, really. You know, it happens that way. There's just so much money in it. When it comes so big. Well, the film festival in San Rafael. I know they have a couple, but don't they have a couple of really big ones over there?
Well, the San Francisco International Film Festival is huge. And
huge,
it's very old. I think it's a 50-year-old festival. And then the, I know there's another one out in Marin County, and I can't actually remember the name of it right now.
I think I was at that international years ago. And then they have quite a few in the Castro, don't they? They're held at that Castro Theater or something.
Oh, they do. Castro Theater does a bunch of different things. They have I know when Film Arts Foundation was around, they were doing a festival there. And then I know that they do the Jewish Film Festival at the Castro.
Yeah, we're in a wonderful area as far as filmmaking. I think it's bigger here than I realize. I'm not in that, industry, so I don't know, but I just see so much, different films. So I film festivals all the time.
Well,
and
a lot of film festivals, but I don't, as far as sheer films go, I think the scene here is really different because it's not It's not done. There's a lot of stuff being done here that doesn't have too many commercial interests at heart.
Right.
I've seen a lot more experimental work in San Francisco than I have, strong narrative pieces.
Okay, sure.
My theory is just because there's no industry here, really. I mean, like, Los Angeles and New York, you've got, studios and so there's this competition and this feeling that you want, they're watching you.
Right.
But San Francisco is a little bit more loose because we don't really have that. So people are free to kind of go out and do these oddball, weird films that probably have a very commercial appeal. But it's a good place, I think, to get your feet wet and maybe find your artistic voice.
It's find your voice. Well, filmmaking, do you, I mean, everything is going internet, so obviously it will all be done. But will it still be pretty much what we know, let's say, in 10 years or something as, you know, technology progresses? It'll just be we podcast or how do you see the film industry in about 10 years, Waylon?
Well, it's hard to say. I was just talking to a friend about this last night that there's all this technology and it keeps changing and evolving. So everything is sort of like a deck of cards that's been thrown up in the air and we don't know how it's going to land yet.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, there's a bunch of different theories I've heard. I think, you know, maybe film theaters will start closing down and it'll become like a vaudeville thing.
You know,
people used to do.
Yeah.
I hope not, because I think a lot of us get into film because we want to watch our movies on the big screen.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be really depressing to watch it all on the Internet. Or on your
on the Internet, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so little. It's just really hard to say, but I know that during the economic times we are in, that the entertainment industry is supposed to get bigger and bigger and bigger because people need to escape. So this is probably your exact time to be pumping out those films because everybody wants to relax and forget them.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't watch my movies then. They're not very relaxing.
Yeah, your movie may not put us into that state.
And certainly the one we're writing is pretty timely. You know, a guy who's so hard up for a gig, he takes one where he has to kill people because he wants the health insurance.
That's not good, Waylon.
Yeah.
That's on the darker side. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I know. I don't think I have it in me to do anything else.
You know, you're definitely going to go that route. Well, you know, it's there, and it's like a Psycho, I guess, with Alfred Hitchcock. You know this?
Yeah.
That's just a classic, and we like our horror films, and that's the way it is.
I think it's something about horror is sort of reflective, because life is pretty scary in a lot of ways, and I guess perhaps seeing something that's really horrible kind of puts it all in perspective for people.
That's
always been the appeal for me, anyways. I think, wow,
yeah.
You know, being eaten alive by hordes of the walking undead or turning into a werewolf every night or something like that.
Yeah. I know, it can be worse and worse. Yeah, it makes it. And, you know, the nightmares are just, you know, we all have nightmares. They're not as vivid as yours, or we don't get up the next morning and make a film, but thank goodness you do because, you know, I don't understand the psychology of horror movies, but I've seen them all my life, and I always say, oh, I'm never going to go again, and I do. Something
yeah,
about
like
it.
Yeah, roller coaster or something.
Yeah, it is. It's like getting them going to a revolt. Well, I'm going to tell your website again. It's www.waylon.com. And Waylon, are you open to actually being hired by other companies to produce for them, or are you strictly going to be your own filmmaking production company?
I probably would stick to my own. I don't know if I'm a very good director for hire.
Okay.
Because I'm self-taught, and so I don't have a love of the technical aspect of it. Like I don't really get my kicks out of sticking cameras in people's faces, but I do like telling stories. And I only know this because I've done a couple of wedding videos, and it was a disaster.
Was it really?
Well, I mean, like they might have liked it, but I just felt like, God, this isn't my thing, you know.
Yeah, it's just going so far against kind of what you're, and sometimes you just got to try them to find out, you know, if that's going to be your calling, and it's a safe way to make some money. I mean, you can always get a wedding, I guess. I didn't know they used director. Oh, I guess they do for weddings.
Oh, yeah, I mean, some people get crazy. I get crazy when I do wedding videos. I always bring four cinematographers, and we get angles and craziness.
Bunch of craziness going on.
Last time.
I remember seeing the latest Madonna film that she directed and produced, which was really good just a few months ago, and then they didn't leave it up very long, but it's talking about something you said about all the different things you have to do along the way, you know, that you can have the fish, you can have the prize, but you sure may be doing some things along the way. That's pretty much the industry, you know, isn't it?
It's real ugly, yeah. No, the film industry
really
terrifies me, to be quite honest.
if you really look at it.
I would really like to continue to, you know, I would like to find a way to make money doing films in my garage. And, I mean, that's one thing I'm hoping will change is that I feel like there's always been this common feeling that everyone does movies and it's all supposed to be a step up to moving to L.A. and then doing Hollywood films and then you're a real filmmaker. Uh-huh. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I really like, I go out and see Pirates of the Caribbean and stuff. But
right.
then I feel like film needs to open up because there's going to be different kinds of filmmakers because, it is an art form. And,
yep.
Just like you couldn't get, say, Ralph Steadman to draw something, like, for children.
Uh-huh.
It shouldn't be expected that all filmmakers should be able to do one thing or the other.
That's right. Who are some of your filmmaking favorites out of all times?
Oh, gosh. Well, let's see. I know I did John Waters. I'm really big on Terry Gilliam.
Mm-hmm.
There was a period of time where everyone who came to my house had to watch Brazil.
Oh, okay.
And then we had to sit there and analyze it afterwards. I do like David Lynch. Sometimes I like David Lynch better in theory than in mm-hmm. practice, but I am fond of his at least his visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And then tentatively just anything sort of odd that I feel is sort of attempting to do something different with the medium. I really like. Sam Peckinpah a lot. I like The Wild Ones and Straw Dogs. I thought it was just totally screwed up movie. There's a guy, Alejandro Jodorowsky, who's done some incredibly strange films. El Topo was one of them. I would suggest everyone rent. And Santa Sandra was a film he made about a church where people lop off their arms to worship sort of a deviant on the Virgin Mary.
Oh. Wow, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, because if, you wouldn't be Walt Disney, I don't think.
It might be fun, but.
Yeah, that's not going to hold you into it. Well, look at somebody like Woody Allen, he left Hollywood. He really didn't even play the game. He just went off and did his own unique thing, and I don't think his stuff would have ever gotten where it is if he'd hung around, like you were saying about you, everybody kind of, that's the steps you take, but not necessarily, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, it's totally noble to go out and do that, but then I think it's also noble to go out and just do your own strange under-the-radar thing.
Yeah.
There's definitely a place for both things, because the problem with film is that it's art and it's entertainment. And I think, especially in America, the line gets blurred, and it gets harder in this culture because we have a fast food culture here.
Yeah.
And it gets kind of hard to see the difference between the two, or to think of art as entertainment.
Well, you mentioned Sam Peckinpah. Now, I was thinking, didn't he do war films that were very vivid?
Yeah, I think that might have been Sam Fuller.
Oh, okay.
But it's a fine line because they both had this real kind of hard-assness to them.
Oh, yeah.
And I do like Sam Fuller a lot. He did this film called Shot Corridor. I had a scene that I'll never forget where a guy is in a nut house and he goes crazy and it starts raining inside the insane asylum.
Oh.
Lightning and thunder. One of the strange, and it's great because it had nothing to do with the rest of the film, so this is a really shocking sequence when it happens.
How cool. He just starts raining. What about actors that you'd like to put in some of your films? Do you have some favorite that you would, if you had a budget this minute, you could go get?
Well, a lot of them are dead, unfortunately. I'd really like the Laurie in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Lon Chaney Sr. is probably my favorite actor. But he's gone. But I think currently, I'm sure everyone says this, but Johnny Depp, I think, is an amazing actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be fun to get in the film. Lily Taylor, who played Valerie Solanas, and I shot Andy Warhol.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening, Lily.
Oh.
She's great in everything she does. I can't think of too many other actors right now who really strike, who really get me, though.
That would turn you on like that. I know your
young ones are kind of, I don't know.
You don't know yet?
They all look the same.
Well, the Rose, your friend's film, I was reading that. That's about this girl that died, and she comes back every year at the same time that she was murdered or something?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking what you said, the ones you want are dead. Maybe you can get them.
Maybe. Well, we know that. I know that actress that's in Rose. She went to our high school.
Really?
Yeah. She was always blowing us away in theater class.
Whoa.
Yeah, Catherine Robinson. I don't know what she's doing now, but she is really good.
I got to see that. Just from what I saw on the website there, it looked really, really good. And then I was reading, and I thought, ooh, that sounds really good. What we're talking about is on waylandbacon.com, and under links, is it? And then he has some. Yeah,
different kinds of links there.
Yeah, you do. I was really thinking, my goodness, Waylon, you better get rid of these links and keep them on your stuff.
it's kind of a selfish thing if I'd like to drag all my friends along.
I know.
And some of them I have to. Shannon is got a link up there. She does the makeup in all the movies.
Oh, Shannon. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, she's
certain.
She's an incredible makeup artist, isn't she?
She's really good and completely and is entirely self-taught.
Completely self-taught.
Yep. That whole thing in Poster Boy where we had a film where a guy's jaw falls off from cancer.
Uh-huh.
And she had never worked with film latex before.
Oh.
And we just made it up. We went along, figured out how to cast it and design how to make it look like someone's jaw had dropped away.
Oh, my God. She's really good then. There must be a lot of call for a super good makeup artist.
There's a bunch. We were joking because we started doing this together in 2001.
Right.
You know, she's sort of my partner and all this stuff. I don't really do anything without running it by Shan first. But she keeps getting paid gigs, and I never
and
do.
You don't. Yeah, I could see that. I just would think that a good one, you know, somebody that has that kind of talent and shows up and reliable on top of that, they can probably make pretty good money. I guess they get unionized sooner or later.
Inevitably, yeah. But, you know, and she has an advantage, too, because she's a girl, and there's actually not a lot of women who do special effects horror makeup.
Really?
Not a lot of them, no. She's kind of a rare breed.
Huh.
And, she's easy to remember, too. She's 6'3". She might be the tallest woman I ever met.
No.
So no one ever forgets Shannon.
No, you wouldn't. I agree. I'll let her do whatever she wants.
Yeah, 6'3". She's a kick.
She must be. Boy, that's great. She walks in a room and commands the whole. You give her your face, whatever you want to do, Shannon. Yeah.
Yeah, the first time I met her, I just thought, I need to become friends with this person. Who is that?
Who is that? Did she just walk in the liquor store? No.
Oh, God. Well, she came at a. She was actually dating a friend of mine, and he brought her over to my house. And at the time, she had shaved off her eyebrows.
Oh,
and she had all these dreadlock extensions and these gigantic stomper boots, which made her even taller. And the story goes that she scared the hell out of me. But apparently she was also scared of me. I think I was probably sitting there with a big bottle of whiskey and a cigarette.
Drawing those pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go over at Waylon's apartment. Walk
right,
in.
Areas.
Yeah, well, you know, whenever you get to your next film and you want to talk about it, you're welcome to come back on and tell everybody what you're doing and what you need. You know, this is a good place to kind of PR it and just put out there in the universe, I need this or I need that, and you'll get it. You know, it's everybody's listening. They'll be downloading this. And the cool thing is this is actually heard all over the world, so you can have, especially a young person that doesn't even have a computer, they can listen over the phone, so they might be exposed to stuff that they wouldn't be. So that's why I appreciate you coming on, Waylon. I really do. I think it's such a cool method to be able to communicate this way. And the guy that started this, his name is Alan Levy, and he's the founder, creator, and so I'm just always mentioning his name because I think he's way ahead of his time.
Yeah, this is great. It's nice to do an interview and, you know, sit here in my office and drink
Yeah,
coffee.
You're not even having to do anything. You just pick up your phone, right? Well, it's long distance, so. Yeah. But they're working on that, too. It's going to be non-long distance. I've had a couple of people. Actually, next week we're going to have Gandhi, Arun Gandhi, you know, Mahatma Gandhi's grandson. So.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you've had a couple people on here. Like, you had Ricky Lee Jones on, I saw.
Oh, I love Ricky. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
You know Ricky Lee. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I'm a huge Tom Waits fan. So, and she's on the cover of Blue Valentine.
Ah, yeah, she was one of the most fun. She just really not, you know, with the mainstream. She's very unique. And interviewing her, I just felt like I was just talking to a friend, you know. I think she was cleaning her house, but I love her music.
While she did the interview, that's great.
I think so, yeah. I mean, she's just really untouched by it all. So I found that to be refreshing. I know that she was in San Francisco, but I don't know if she's coming back soon. I'm sure she will be. Well, we're almost running out of time, and I'm going to play that song, that wonderful song again. to go out, and if you want to give people your website?
Yeah, it's, so it's www.waylon, which is W-A-Y-L-O-N, and then bacon, like dead pig that you eat, .com.
So it's www.waylonbacon.com, and I hope that y'all all go and check out his website and his clip there, and we want more Waylon Bacon films.
I'm working on it. We're shooting in March and April. Actually, I was working on the shooting schedule right before I called you.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Oh. So you're already working on the schedule. Wow.
Oh, yeah. No, we just finished casting, and we got the art department building stuff and makeup team casting people's heads. And
oh. Where's it going to be filmed? Do you know? Different places?
All over. Yeah, we're shooting a little bit in East Oakland and then probably Treasure Island a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And storage facility in San Francisco as well. So,
oh, a storage facility. I was just thinking of all the different cemeteries around here, too.
Oh, I'd love to shoot something. I just haven't written anything that has a cemetery scene yet, but I'm working on it.
Yeah. I don't know why that came to my mind. Well, they have a really beautiful one at Oakland, a big, huge.
Piedmont.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go have picnics there sometimes.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's huge. It's the size of the town I grew up in.
Oh, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Albany, but Albany's a square mile, and I think so is Piedmont Cemetery, actually.
Wow, I didn't know it was that big.
That was my little sister actually worked there for a little bit.
She worked there?
She had some really strange stories from that place.
Oh, what did she do? Did she dig graves?
No, she was the landscaper.
Oh.
But they would have, but she did end up helping people out. She became friends with this guy, Bob, who worked the crematorium. And she'd go out to lunch with him there and sometimes help him load bodies up onto the conveyor belt and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So she probably saw a few ghosts or talked to a few?
She didn't see any ghosts, but she definitely saw a lot of corpses.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she gave me a discarded headstone for my birthday from her one year. Yeah.
Wow.
Wrapped up in a bow and everything. It's sitting in my living room right now.
And it has a name on it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't want to say the name. I don't want to get anyone.
No, maybe not.
Technically, it was getting thrown away. As I guess his wife had passed on, and they were going to get a dual headstone, so this is getting discarded.
Well, did she ever think a body was not really gone, dead, or when she was helping lug him around?
No, but I think one story that really stuck with me was that they were, I guess there sometimes water gets under the cemetery, and they had a situation where they had to actually get a coffin up out of the ground for one reason or another, and no one could get the body, and the coffin kept slipping because it was so wet.
Oh, God.
And so they actually had to open up the casket and reach in and physically take this body up out of the casket.
Oh.
And nobody wanted to do it, of course. People were drawing straws.
To see who got to do it. Well, that's certainly good experience.
Yeah, I was actually jealous because I'd been trying to get that job for a while, and they wouldn't hire me, but they hired my sister. So, but she's a bit more macho than I am. I'm kind of, limp-wristed.
Wow, yeah, that would be a great job for you to have, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, I'm going to go ahead and hit the bob.
All right.
And tell you thanks again so much, Waylon, and you're welcome anytime.
All right, well, thank you a lot, Judy.
You take
fun.
Care. And
me
that's waylonbacon.com.
waylonbacon.com.